It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
I want a party. I want a samba.
Film lovers, Kobe, I'm gonna break protocol for just a moment. Do we have the new intro as well? Because we have guests who we have not had on in a while, and they have not heard the new intro. I believe, at least not in studio. I know we're breaking boundaries here at Film Sociology.
Gonna need a second. On
all right, one. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soze. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. You can also check out the blog at filmsociology.tumblr.com. I'm taking over Kobe Slagle's job. No, not really. So we have a revamp intro. This is how special the show is. We have two intros. That's how important and awesome this show is.
Soft kitty, warm kitty, little ball of fur. Happy kitty, sleepy kitty, purr, purr, purr.
We are Sex Bomba! One, two, three, four! We are Sex Bomba! One, two, three, four!
We are Sex Bomba, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff!
We are Sex Bomba. We are here to make money and sell out and stuff.
One, two, three, four!
Kim!
Especially Matthew Soze, I'm going to be putting down my Xbox and my energy drinks to review a mature movie.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Phoenix Rise that is Gina Wagner.
Hi. Well, I brought my giant Pepsi drink.
You did. You just came back from a screening.
Yeah, and Joe is so nice. He brought us Nutter Butter, so he I'm going to be all hyped up.
And sitting in the memorial spouse chair is Dan. Hi.
The chair memorial. Is named for him, right?
Yeah, I think it is the Dan Memorial Spouse Chair. And also in studio from the Film Yap, by the way, I got to represent you guys well on TV this morning on Indie Style.
Thank you very much.
But also sitting in from the Film Yap, Joe Shearer.
Where is he? That's me. Sorry, that's me. I'm Joe.
Watch it. Joe, what's happening at the Film Yap?
We got stuff going on.
Gina, what's happening in Haunted Flower?
We're selling shark shirts for Sharknado 2. So many shark shirts.
At the Film Yap, we love lamp.
This is how the show is going to go. Wow. So good to have you back. Now, yeah, there are giant Pepsis not on our table because they're not allowed on our table, those who are in management.
Nope.
But you just came back from a screen. This is like the old days because you would go to see something first thing Friday morning and then hightail it down here to hang out with us.
Yeah, we went to the early show today.
With the old, the unemployed, and the weird.
Yeah, and the kids. A lot of kids.
Well, school hasn't started for everybody.
Yeah, kids still out. Give them a couple weeks.
Didn't Warren Central start this week?
I have no idea.
Why would you know?
Most of the Indianapolis area has started with the suburbs, including my northern suburbs, Noblesville, Carmel, Westfield, starting for another 2 weeks or so.
Wow.
Your northern suburbs?
Yes.
You know what he also does? When talking about the Cardinals, he says we.
He says we. Yeah, yeah. You say we.
Yeah, Emma doesn't start till Wednesday.
Adam Wainwright and I won that game, and we'll win more, and we will together hoist the World Series championship. That sort of thing.
You know what the Cardinals have? Fire and passion.
You got momentum.
And momentum. All right.
That's important.
Go
to have
sports.
That's important.
Go team who's has more points than the other team.
Yay.
Yay. All right. Opening in theaters today. I'm hopefully going to be checking this out next week, but I know, yes, it's big summer blockbuster movie season, but there's also Richard Linklater's 12-year project that is Boyhood, mm-hmm. So very excited about that. But the big title, the big film opening today, and this helps break the stereotype that only bad films are released in August, and it's Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not need to see the other Marvel films to follow this, and there's no cookies afterwards. That's okay.
But there actually is one.
Yeah. Really? Not at the screening we had last
not
week.
Not at our special advanced screenings.
Ooh.
They denied us. At the actual theatrical.
There is one. Yeah. Oh, I take it back. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'll tell you about it later because I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah, we don't want to do that here.
You can say it doesn't really connect with any other movies, so it's not some kind of big teaser.
It's just kind of fun.
It was fun being at the screening last week because so many people stayed, and as soon as the studio logo came up and there was this kind of verbal disappointment, and I was an old person, shocking. I just went, yeah, you got to read the names of all the people that made your 2 hours entertaining. Boo flippin' who. Sorry, we do that.
Pull up your black socks.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
There you go.
Take your drink where they shot The Perfect Storm with you.
we're recording this on location from Matthew Soucy's Gran Torino.
Wait, he dies at the end. That's not good. And I don't want to talk to empty chairs. Sorry. Okay, Guardians of the Galaxy. You have Chris Pratt, and he is the quote-unquote leader of this group of ragtag renegades who are fighting and running away because he has stolen a very dangerous and valuable orb. Not the orb from Woody Allen's Sleeper, mind you, but a orb that everybody on the galaxy wants, including a Smurf-looking Michael Rooker, and among others. And while there have been some comparisons to Star Wars, I think, because with Star Wars, it's an homage to the cliffhanger serial films or the Western. This, for me, felt like a space version of the Dirty Dozen or an Ocean's 11, a Space Five, if you will.
Yeah.
A ragtag group of misfit outlaws that have to work together, not necessarily like each other at first, and then they get along and they get the job done. So you have Chris Pratt, you have Zoe Zaldana. Guys, she's green in this one.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Captain Kirk is
good in any color.
Sharpening, yeah, it actually kind of is. You have a giant rooted guy voiced by Vin Diesel. Actually, one of the best things Vin Diesel has done.
I was just gonna say it's the best like performance Vin Diesel's ever done in his career.
Because we are Groot.
Yeah.
He's a tree.
You also have
like a school play.
only with a bigger paycheck.
Yeah.
and you know what? And Groot does not live his life a quarter mile at a time. He is Groot. You also have a hot-headed raccoon voiced by Bradley Cooper, who at times gets into Jason Alexander territory with his vocals.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene stealer of the film, as a hulking man who literally takes everything at face value, Dave Bautista, mm-hmm. or Bautista for you wrestling fans out there.
The animal.
Yeah.
But not the Road Warrior animal.
No.
He's gone. But
no, he's here.
No, he's not here. He's not in studio.
Well, he had to step in the restroom.
Right.
Yeah.
Some other familiar faces, Benicio Del Toro, Glenn Close with odd, weird hair.
Mm-hmm.
I think making something so her kids and grandkids can see it.
Yeah.
John C. Reilly shows up. But, yeah, and Jamon Hunsu. There is enough whiz-bang action stuff, Kobe. Action things happen.
Whiz-bang action things.
Whiz-bang action things for the mall crowd to enjoy. And there's enough heart and enough humor of various degrees of maturity that the IFJA, of course, we look down the aisle looking at each other with big grins on our faces. This was a lot of fun. We're checking out.
Yeah. Our colleague Ed Johnson out with Nouveau News Weekly.
Yes.
I attended.
He was talking about this a couple months ago about really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you guys all went to the screening, two Wednesdays ago?
Correct.
I went this past Wednesday. Ed was there also for a second time, which
seeing a film a second time.
Yeah, that's, and for Ed especially, that's a stamp of approval right there.
Correct.
Yeah.
Joe, what'd you think?
I absolutely loved it. I am the big Marvel guy, you know, of course, and I've been kind of wondering if this would be the movie of the summer, and I think pretty unequivocally it is. I hope that it gets that for the box office for it. I'm not sure if it will or not, but it was, wow, it was really great. Had the perfect tone all the way through. It's almost more of a comedy than a superhero movie.
Exactly. And I think that's I think for a lot of people who are uncertain, yeah, the trailer kind of shows it to be a full-blown action film, and it's not. There's more to it. And usually yeah. I tend to get tired at times when there is, and I think I blame Schwarzenegger, among others, for having the humor mm-hmm. kind of just driven into the action film, because I think that takes away the tension. It works
yeah.
in this case. And it's funny because Chris Pratt, as he is playing Peter Quill, it looked like he watched every cynical action anti-hero film of the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, just the only thing missing is the permanent Bruce Willis smirk.
yes.
But that kind of lackadaisical, happy-go-lucky attitude is there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a line I think of with Batista talking about how everybody is his friend, and
yeah.
and it just cracks me up to no end. The only thing I will say about this is one joke that I'm not going to tell you what it is, but all I can say, guys, if you don't know the work of artist Jackson Pollock, you really should after seeing this film. And that's
yeah.
all I'm going to say on that.
Maybe if you're not if you hear that name and you don't automatically
go look up his work.
Yeah, yeah. Google him before you go see this, and it will make a certain line a lot funnier.
Yes. Now the boy crowd is done squealing. Gina, what did you think?
Well, I wasn't as familiar with this Marvel story going mm-hmm. into it, so
I don't think anybody really is.
Yeah, the movie kind of had to warm me up a little bit and give me some background, and so it took a while to get into it, but it was really fun. I enjoyed it a lot, but I don't know. I mostly really liked the tree.
I am Groot.
I also liked Batista and Chris Pratt, mm-hmm. but mostly the tree.
She talks to the trees, but yeah. they don't listen to her.
This one would speak back.
But
he is Groot.
For me, I still really liked X-Men and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes better for summer movies this
okay.
year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you still enjoyed it.
Because those like yeah. really went above and beyond for me.
Yeah.
But this was fine. It was fun.
You have a limited amount of time, so things have yeah. to be cool.
Yeah. yeah, just go watch the tree. Mm-hmm.
the one thing about this movie as opposed to those two you mentioned is this one is really something that's different. You know, we've seen X-Men in the summertime before. We've seen Planet of the Apes, you know, obviously for decades. And those were very good movies. And I, you know, I wouldn't even argue that, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy is better. But I think there's sort of a freshness to this that kind of gives it just a leg up on those. As much as I love the both of those, and I would probably put those three with a movie we're going to talk about pretty soon as far as the best of the summer so far.
Yeah, it's again, you don't have to know the other ones to get into it. And I know, I know some folks, I know some folks are already tired of the dark and dreary superhero films.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I have other things to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this is a nice change of pace, and it's yeah. light in tone and fun in action. Mm-hmm. I think that's all we really need yeah. from a film like this.
But the beginning is really sad, so be ready for that.
Well, it is sad, but
Finding Nemo sad.
Because
yeah.
oh, I don't think it's that sad.
It's pretty sad.
It's a bummer.
It's really sad.
It's a bummer, but yeah. it's not that sad.
You might cry. I don't know.
Yeah.
You might.
Why are you looking at me?
It was just a little.
Saying. Are you saying to the audience?
It was even
the
a
audience.
Little,
you guys, you might cry.
You might.
Yeah, you might. It's an up moment. If not.
Oh, it's not an up
not
moment.
Maybe not quite
it's
as
shorter
well done,
than
but.
That. The other thing, and
it
I
gets better when the spaceship shows up
and yeah. and the roots and Groot.
Don't most things
plot things, tree things happen.
Spaceship things.
The spaceship shows up, and I'm like, oh, good. I don't want to feel feelings anymore. Let's move on.
How dare you make me have feelings? Darn you, Art.
I came here to have fun. Stop making me sad.
She has a limited amount of time. Be cool. And don't be sad. The other thing I should mention, and it's funny because there are certain movie cliches that kind of drive me batty to no end. And I had to laugh in spite of myself with the use of bad 60s and 70s one-hit wonder music,
yes. mm-hmm.
Crap rock for a busy world, and Chris Pratt's character there's a mixtape that's involved, and it's actually used quite well. And there is a plot moment. There's a plot happening
oh, yeah?
that involves a particular song. So, mm-hmm. however, This song does use Alvin Bishop's Fooled Around and Fell in Love.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Boogie Night Still Reigns when it comes to use of that song. Then maybe Summer of Sam. You had a thing, Dan. What's up?
And nobody puts Cherry Bomb on that mixtape.
Nobody puts Cherry Bomb? What about the film The Runaways?
It was really distracting to me hearing Cherry Bomb because I couldn't concentrate on their plan montage if I'm listening to Cherry Bomb.
Yeah,
walking in slow motion.
Yeah. I can't listen to both.
But there's no Dakota Fanning, no Kirsten Stewart.
No, thank goodness.
There is, however, Rocket adjusting certain things, which is just an awesome little moment. Yeah.
Zoe Saldana yawning.
Yeah.
Oh, gotta go save the world. Oh,
and
so
I'm sorry.
Exhausting.
I'm sorry. I don't know how this machine works. Although I am saying, I have said to someone else, in the trailer is an uncensored or is a censored version of that with a little graphic that says obscene gesture alert. In the film, they don't have that.
Because it's a film.
I'm trying to figure out which of those two is funnier.
I think the trailer version is funnier.
I almost
agree.
Because
they have a graphic for
it. You don't see that coming. You're not really supposed to see it. And we should note, the film is co-written and directed by James Gunn, who gave us the cult film Slither, and I think an underappreciated superhero movie called Super, with Rainn Wilson and Ellen Page.
And the ex, Mr. Jenna Fisher.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that too. So, anyway, a lot of fun. Go check it out. Now, the other big film opening today, which, as Joe alluded to, is going to be fighting Guardians of the Galaxy at the box office, is the new biopic called Get On Up, which is about James Brown. And it's from Tate Taylor, who directed The Help. So it's a Help reunion because Octavia Spencer and Viola Davis are in this. Mm-hmm. Chadwick Boseman, who we saw last year play Jackie Robinson in 42, he was also in Draft Day, plays James Brown. And I have to quote my buddy Laura Jansen, who said many moons ago, she doesn't like biopics because they're movies about people. And what she meant by that was the biopic story arc.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you know films like Walk the Line and Ray, and by the way, also a format which was completely destroyed by the underappreciated comedy Walk Hard with John C. Reilly. Apparently, the producers of this film didn't see that because, you know, and when we talk about the biopic format, you know, him or her at a young age, and then they're moving up into the business and getting success, and then having too much success and too much excess, and there's
a
downfall.
Drugs?
There could be drugs in the music business.
No.
There could be
drugs.
There could be sex. There could be money problems.
No.
There could be
arguments.
There could be arguments amongst the band.
I know.
And there could be one-dimensional white people telling the musicians they can't do anything, but they do. And of course,
you
there's
have to overcome that.
There's a slight redemption, even if the subject died, sadly, and took a long time to get actually buried underground. So watching this, the film starts with, of all things, James Brown's famous shotgun driving incident in the late 80s, then hops to 1930s where he's a child, then hops into the 50s when he's starting out in the music business. And there are moments where it seems like there are flashbacks. It's like a biopic version of Inception. You know, there's a moment in the 80s film, in the 80s portion, where he's being chased by the police, which they kind of gloss over. They don't mention anything about it being in the chase happening in three states. Mm-hmm. But when James Brown is finally trapped by the police and he's told to get out of the car, a little boy's feet hops out, and it's James Brown as a young child to remind us of who he was before he became crazy James Brown in the 80s and 90s. Yeah. So there's a little bit of, and it hops back and forth so much, it's a little distracting. Now, I understand they're trying to tweak the biopic format, as I alluded to, but it really felt uneven.
Yeah.
That and, of course, all the cliches which we talked about, shock and again, clutch the pearls, there are those things happening in the biopics. That being said, Boseman gives a really strong performance. He's got the speaking voice down, and he's got the moves down.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, there is wall-to-wall James Brown music. So the concert footage is really cool. He is cool. I have a limited amount of time. And it almost pulls it off for the most part. Yeah. So did you see that?
Yes, yes. Allison Janney also was in it. You talked about that.
Oh, yeah. It's also one-dimensional. And Dan Aykroyd is trying to flesh out the most of the one-dimensional white people rules.
Yeah. And Nelson Ellis, who plays Bobby Bird was in.
Yeah, and he's really actually he's quite good as well. The relationship between Bird and Brown is actually the strongest relationship. Forget the women and the women he Ray Riced.
yeah, and they even mention that. But I would agree with you, Parrot, most of it, except to say, this is not anything original that you're seeing. But they do it with a lot of style, and it's largely on the strength of Chadwick Boseman, just spot grabbing James Brown, and I really really enjoyed it. Also.
You did okay. Yeah. Did you know a lot about it?
It's also
in?
An art film.
It's not an art film.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew the bones of it that he, you know, obviously I knew a lot of his music. I knew the domestic violence stuff. I knew something about the shotgun incident, that there was one, not the specifics. And that, to me, was a really good way to start the movie off because it kind of shows you his...
Right off the bat.
Yeah, just his craziness. I wouldn't call myself versed in the, you know, scholarly pursuit of James Brown, but I was aware of him. I knew his music. Obviously, I knew who he was, but it didn't tell me a whole lot about James Brown. I didn't know, but it really kind of painted a nice picture of who he was, you know, within that framework, you know.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And it's not an art film.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
But go see it anyway.
Okay. Also opening in theaters today is a film called I, Origins, which I know was had a screening at Indie Film Fest. Mm-hmm. It's from director Mike Cahill, who gave us Another Earth. In fact, it's got the actress from Another Earth in this. Mm-hmm. And it's, if you saw Another Earth, you'll get an idea of, you'll have an idea of what's going to happen with I, Origins. You have a couple that meets, and it's a little static, intense relationship. And then there's a major plot thing that happens to one character, and then there's a second life involving the male character. And it's funny because as I was watching this, I didn't know who directed it initially, and I thought it has an Another Earth feel to it. Oh,
yeah,
good call.
Look at that.
And the second half of the film becomes kind of a puzzle on finding eyes are a lot. There's a reason why Eye Origins is the title, and eyeball. There's wall-to-wall eyeballs in this movie.
Lots of them.
Hitting you over the head with a little bit of symbolism. For me, the first half of the film, the couple, they're kind of, you just want to borderline shake them a little bit.
Yeah.
And it doesn't quite save when we get to the end. It's not it's not as satisfying a film as Another Earth. But getting to the puzzle as to who this person is, why are they in the computer system? I'm not giving away a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And then the payoff itself, it's low-key by comparison. But I kind of have mixed thoughts on this. Joe?
Yeah, I would say that, too. I would say positive to mixed for me, leaning positive. I enjoyed kind of the mystery of it. Although, in the end, you know, how much mystery is there? There was a neat little post-credit sequence that kind of gives just a little bit of a hint at something larger, and I know this only because at the Indie Film Fest screening I attended, I sat through because Mike Cahill was kind of Skyped in and did a sort of an interview, a Q&A basically,
right?
Not being there, that guy's kind of crazy,
really,
in kind of a good way. He was very entertaining. He answered a couple of pretty tough questions about the movie. Not the least of which was why he featured a scene involving a grown man taking a little girl into a hotel room in India.
Yeah, that was really...
Yeah, it was a little... And he had a reasonable explanation.
This is part of the puzzle, folks.
Yeah,
because there's kind of a red herring that happens, an encounter that he has with another adult in an elevator that you think it's going to go, especially when you see the moment with the little girl.
Yeah,
you think it's going to go down one particular path, and fortunately, it doesn't.
Yeah, and in the end, this almost came off as sort of his attempt at an art house franchise. Almost, you almost see a sequel, possibly in the works, especially if you stayed after and watched the little post credit sequence that kind of, it gives you just a little clue into what those who are keeping this database have to do with it, and it seems like a small part of the movie, honestly, compared to the main narrative. But in the end, this little bit kind of is just a little hint at something else, which was kind of neat. But you know, again, I would say I enjoyed it, positive for the most part, a little bit on the mixed side.
But it's also an art film.
It is an art film.
Okay.
Kind of.
This one is, for sure. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll talk about some other movies that that are playing this weekend, as well as titles on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Okay.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Socey. Hanging out with Joe Shearer of the Film Yap and Gina Wagner from Haunted Flower. Dan's in the spouse chair. couple other notes tonight. I think... tonight is it the last night of the IMA Summer Night Series?
It is not the last night. It will continue on, but tonight sold out. It's been a summer of sellouts
at
the IMA.
Really?
Yeah, nice. Tonight, Friday, August 1st, 9:30 p.m. American Graffiti. Moving on to next week, Friday, August 8th, Clue is sold out.
Ah, okay.
Then beyond that, we have The Odd Couple on the 15th, Mean Girls on the 22nd, and The Godfather on the 29th. So we got the whole month of August yet at the IMA.
You have not seen them. I have not forced American Graffiti on you yet.
No.
A 70s film about the 50s. Well, the early 60s. Yeah. You might. You guys seen it?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it a few years back.
And?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. if you've seen Porky's, you've seen them all.
That's so not true. Wow.
Yeah, that might not be true.
What a broad overarching statement there, Joe.
It was. Once you want to step on the front stoop. My gosh.
Yeah, you know, watch Porky's. You know, just certain parts are gone. You know, the shower thing is gone.
Really? Yeah,
pretty much.
I don't
movie.
Believe there's any male or female body parts shown in American Graffiti.
No.
They're not.
Yeah, just take it out and it's American Graffiti. Put it back in. It's Porky's. It's, yeah.
That's on the highlight reel because that's just ludicrous. That's rapper ludicrous. It's so silly.
That may be a bit of a stretch.
A bit of a stretch?
So to speak.
You think?
So to speak.
Gosh. And don't forget, I believe it's here at WFYI, Proper Use, we will be showing the documentary about Bobby Slick Leonard.
Yep.
August 9th. At 9 p.m. on WFYI television. So go to WFYI.org for more information on that. Mr. Slagle,
yes.
Do we have drive-in information?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
At the Tibbs this weekend, Screen 1, Movie 1, Guardians of the Galaxy, back that up against Planes, Fire, and Rescue.
All right. Whoa, wait, they want the kids to stay up that late?
That's what they got.
I personally would have flipped that.
Yeah, probably.
Second screen, Purge Anarchy, followed by Sex Tape.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh, that's rough. Yeah. Okay.
Screen three, Lucy, followed by Get On Up.
Okay. Same studio.
Yeah.
Same studio. There you go. Okay.
And finally, Hercules and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, not bad.
That's a lot of testosterone.
Yeah.
I'd go see that one.
Dwayne Johnson and Andy Serkis. They should be cops.
They should. I would say we have discussed our predilection towards catching one movie on one screen and then sneaking around to another screen.
Oh, you're not condoning that behavior, are you?
I don't know if that's officially endorsed. Yeah, so
we haven't had a committee meeting to talk about if we endorse that or not.
Yeah, I won't say we've ever done that, but you know.
Has anybody seen Hercules?
I saw Hercules.
Any good?
Well, it wasn't the movie I wanted it to be, honestly. I wanted it to be The Rock fighting a bunch of monsters the whole movie. You know, lots of fun, cool stuff. I've got a limited amount of time. But unfortunately, they took it a little bit more realistic in that, you know, monsters weren't really there. None of the monsters were monsters. There's no centaurs. Why? It's Hercules. Why couldn't you have real monsters? Come on.
Were there real monsters in the Hercules movie that came out earlier this year?
I didn't see that.
Nobody saw that.
Save myself for The Rock.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson, give the man his respect.
No, he's The Rock.
He's The Rock.
He's not The Rock in this one.
No, the poster clearly says Dwayne Johnson.
He's only The Rock when Vince McMahon writes him a check.
I don't know who this Dwayne Johnson is.
I'm
stop.
But
are you really going to do this?
I'm sorry, but I follow The Rock on Facebook, and all he's done for months is post his Hercules workouts on his The Rock Facebook page.
Yeah. Is Hercules
he's been
fighting
bulking
Batista?
Up for this.
No, I know he's bulking up for this. So, okay, would Hercules fight the rock monsters in Noah, which is everyone's favorite part of the Bible? And of course, on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
You know, unfortunately, they would not get to be in the same movie because of how Hercules went. Like, all of his stories with monsters weren't real, and I'm bummed.
I'm sorry.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, and by the way, Noah builds an ark, speaking of spoiler alerts. film from Darren Aronofsky with Russell Crowe. Yeah, don't be I love how people were offended. Well, the Tebow crowd was offended by...
The Tebow crowd?
Yeah. There's still hope. You know, he's training. He's ready for a comeback.
There's interest.
There is
all of these teams.
So, yeah. Another practice squad to kick him out of. no, but I mean, there's a lot of Bible thumpers that were offended by Noah. Nobody mentioned the fact that it's an Australian playing Noah. By the way, there's also a movie with a Swedish Christ back in the 60s. Just saying.
We like our Bible characters to be American.
Even though it's not set in America. Right. Well, this is the butt-kicking Noah. This is the one that kicks bad guys off his ark. Well, not really. But he does build an ark with rock creatures.
It jumped the shark when the rock monsters came to build the ark.
They did. I think they were union, so it was okay.
They're like, hey, we're going to help you build this ark now because you can't do it by yourself. Is that cool? He said, yeah.
Gina Wagner also provides the voice of God in Darren Aronofsky's Noah. yes, there are rock monsters, and there are, well, it's supposed to be all the animals in the world, and we don't really see, and this was another thing that kind of got to be in Gina's bonnet, because Gina is a woman of bonnets.
If I go to see Noah, I'd like to see some animals, because it's about putting all the animals on the ark. We saw like 5 minutes of animals in this movie. What gives? I'm sorry, but I really thought like the kids would be walking around the ark. They have a monkey on their shoulder. They'd be petting the animals.
It's not Dr. Doolittle.
I was expecting
Noah
just
Doolittle.
A little bit more fun, but no, they just slept.
Wait,
through
wait,
it.
Wait!
That
a little
boring.
A little more fun from a Darren Aronofsky film. The
I'm
man who
saying.
Gave us Requiem for a Dream, the
all
Fountain,
these animals.
And The Wrestler. The Wrestler is his lightest film.
All these animals. You could have had so much fun.
No. Russell Crowe won't talk to the animals because they're animals.
Yeah.
Well, she's voiced her disgust about this.
You
Joe,
know,
Joe, were you bummed out?
You know, if Tim's story had
more
made
monkeys.
Noah, if Tim's story had made Noah, he would have talked Russell Crowe into it. He would have just said, listen, they're just not going to talk back.
This is why I like Planet of the Apes, because it had enough monkeys in it.
Yeah. Did Andy Serkis speak?
Yes.
He did.
Very often.
Did he talk about his precious? No, that's the other
one.
No,
that's the other one. Yeah.
And by the way, I think we said it before, but it's worth saying again. Kudos for Andy Serkis to not only get credit, mm-hmm. to get top billing credit,
yes.
but also big check.
Oh, yeah.
Want him knee deep in a limo with all sorts of excess. That man deserves it. So
it's just the limo door opens and it's just a white cloud of powder.
I didn't say that. It could. I said excess. Could be women or other CGI things.
Monkeys.
Bananas.
A knee deep in monkeys.
If I was rich, I'd go around in a limo full of monkeys. It'd be fun.
Yeah, I probably would.
Would they be a barrel so you could? They would be full of monkeys?
No, that sounds like mistreatment. Let's be realistic here.
Oh,
but we can.
I'm sorry. A line was crossed. Thank you, Gina, for being the voice. Actually, you usually are the voice of reason when we have a group like this.
We can, however, paint the limo to look like a barrel. Compromise,
but not the monkeys. Can't paint them red.
Don't paint the monkeys.
That's not good. Yeah, then PETA gets mad.
Yeah.
So. No. Okay,
although
Matt Reeves, creatures were harmed in Guardians of the Galaxy. That was in the credits.
You're right.
Or raccoons.
In the concept of the show.
Right.
So, yeah, I think everyone's disappointed by Noah, for sure.
It's just a bummer. No fun at all.
We're just getting more and more sound clips. Thanks, Gina. It's like we're in a recording studio. Just say random stuff, and we'll use it.
More monkeys.
Kobe, what did you think of American Graffiti? More monkeys.
Well, if you've seen Porky's, you've seen it all.
Yeah, I think we need to rebuild the sound clip machine file. We got some golden stuff here. Also out on DVD and Blu-ray is the it's not a romantic comedy. It's the comedy The Other Woman. Mm-hmm. With Cameron Diaz and Kate Upton and Mrs. Apatow. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because watching Sex Tape a couple weeks ago, which this was the worst film I've seen so far this summer. Now, there's a lot of films I've missed, but mm-hmm. but thinking about Sex Tape and the Sex Tape makes The Other Woman look like a Katharine Hepburn film. Gina's eyes just got really big.
Because it's radio, we need to tell you.
Yeah, I know. The Other Woman has three women who all team up to go after the same conniving guy. Apparently, according to this movie, female bonding can only consist of drinking too much and doing each other's hair, mm-hmm. and then conniving to do bad pranks against one guy.
Do they have nothing better to do?
No, they don't.
Bummer.
They do not. Mm-hmm. Why do you have to be the golden boy? Can it be the man? How come it's not called Noah without monkeys?
Noah the monkeyless.
Yeah, Noah the monkeyless. That's good. Yeah, that's out. Also out on DVD and Blu-ray for you Tony Jaa fans, The Protector 2. Still protecting.
Protecting harder.
That's right. As far as old titles, we bring up nostalgia. Nobody here really cares about nostalgia. That's all right, because American Graffiti is also being shown at the IMA. Criterion has put out The Big Chill from 1983. Okay. This is a film I think you should watch every 5 years because you'll be able to see it in a different light. A group of friends from college getting together to celebrate, but they reunite after the death of a college classmate of theirs. It was Kevin Costner, even though he didn't make it in the final cut. Mm. Speaking of recently, of course, last week we paid tribute to James Garner. One of his better films from the 60s is out on DVD and Blu-ray called Duel at Diablo, with a Western with Sidney Poitier. A wonderful film written by Paddy Chayefsky. It won a Best Actor award for Ernest Borgnine, Marty, from the mid-50s. Paris Blues is out with Paul Newman and Sidney Poitier, Separate Tables with David Niven and Burt Lancaster. And somebody buy this for me as an early birthday present, Herzog the Collection.
Do you know how many times we've watched Jack Reacher just to enjoy?
Talk about bad endings. He should have just killed Tom Cruise roll credits. And or have more Herzog. Easily the best thing about that film, right? He should play more.
Always the bullet. I don't understand this.
I have a knife in Siberia.
He does too. Yeah, that's why. That's why I want Werner Herzog to do more pledge spots, and do them for the show. He might be the second opinion, Kobe, on if this is a real show. He might not say it's terrific. Here's what's in the collection. This is the big one. And I already said. Oh, sidebar. A couple regulars on the show, Brian and Monica Hartz. They had a baby.
Congratulations
to the two of them. So, but I said you should buy this for your child, Herzog the Collection. This is the films in the collection. Even Dwarves Started Small, Land of Silence and Darkness, Fata Morgana, Aguirre, The Wrath of God. He sounds like children's stories. The Enigma of Casper Haver, Heart of Glass, Strochek, Wycheck, Nosferatu the Vampire, Fitzcarraldo, Ballad of the Little Soldier, Where the Green Ants Dream, Cobra Verde, Lessons of Darkness, Little Dieter Needs to Fly, which, of course, was he made into a feature film. It was Rescue Dawn with Christian Bale.
I'm sorry, that sounds like a bad pickup line.
Little Dieter Needs to Fly. And the documentary about his all-time favorite actor to work with, Klaus Kinski, called My Best Fiend. So there you go, Herzog, the Collection, fun stuff there. All right, Kobe.
Yep.
Are you ready for dead people? You're not.
I can be.
You know we like some of them.
Yes.
Doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
There's a pretty big one this
we
week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
We never have time for dead people we don't like. But we do like filmmaker Robert Drew, who documentary filmmaker starting out in the 1950s, really became known with a documentary from 1960 called Primary, which was, according to some of the first cinema verite in documentary filmmaking, where you got to see... which was a documentary about John Kennedy, then a senator from Massachusetts, running for the Democratic presidential nomination against Hubert Humphrey. So a lot of behind the scenes, a lot of candid footage of the candidates. And also the fact that the film was shot and edited by Albert Mails and D.A. Pennebaker, who would later go on to have their own careers there. Actor James Shigeta, who was the leading man in the film Flower Drum Song, died at the age of 85, and did a lot of TV in the 70s, but one of his early ones was Flower Drum Song. Also appeared in films like Paradise Hawaiian Style. Yes, he worked with Elvis.
Nice.
Don't hold that against him.
Was that also Mr. Takagi from Die Hard?
Yes, that was it. He got half a paragraph about that.
Yeah,
he was the executive shot to death when refusing to give a security code to Hans Gruber.
Yeah.
So
he's a hero.
He is a hero.
He
is a hero. He also appeared in films like Lost Horizon, the god-awful musical from the 70s, the really cool film The Yakuza. He was a vice admiral in Midway, was the voice of General Lee, L-I. Not General Lee the car, but he was in...
I believe that's Lee.
In Mulan, mm-hmm. And was in the 2000 action film Brother, crime action film Brother. Oh. So that was good. And then Academy Award-winning makeup artist Dick Smith died at the age of 92. Just going through... I mean, I love printing out IMDb pages because you've seen his work, whether you know this man or not. Films like Requiem for a Heavyweight, The Cardinal... he did the 50s TV film version of Alice in Wonderland. The one that I've seen on Svengoolie, The Alligator People.
Nice.
Not a potboiler. And not enough monkeys. some of the other films, he did the makeup for Marlon Brando in The Godfather. Did films like The Exorcist, The Stepford Wives, The Sunshine Boys. Created the Mohawk for Robert De Niro and Taxi Driver. Marathon Man, worked on Exorcist II, The Heretic, a film that just came out on Criterion Blu-ray scanners, so Exploding Heads, Nighthawks, Ghost Story, won an Oscar in 1984 for Amadeus for the old age makeup on film sociology guest F. Murray Abraham.
Yeah.
Other films including Starman, Poltergeist 3, was nominated for the Jack Lemmon film Dad, gosh, his his last film from 1999, the bad remake of House on Haunted Hill. No. And he also got an honorary Academy Award in 2010. So thank you, Dick Smith. Nice work. Yeah. So, Joe Shearer.
Yes.
What is seriously happening at the Film Yap?
Well, you know, we did just wrap up our Indie Film Fest coverage.
And how many films did you wind up seeing during the fest?
I personally probably saw 10-ish. We reviewed, I believe, close to 30, and a collection of shorts as well. That was pretty. It was pretty nice. We did several interviews also. We had a sort of a festival diary and a couple of nice things. Now we're going on to full tilt, regular cinema coverage, wall to wall. We have a fully stocked staff of writers at the moment.
You make it sound like a bar.
Yes. Well,
do you have top shelf writers?
We're
you and Chris.
We're a lot cheaper, but you'll be just as dizzy at the end.
And of course, Richard Probst is below the bar. Yeah. Sir Paul hums.
He's laughing even though he's not here.
All the time.
We do have a couple of nice commentaries at the moment. Evan Dossie and I actually embarked on a nice little discussion about piggybacking on Guardians of the Galaxy, some of the worst changes to comic book canon for the movies. You know, there's always some things that people complain about. We go into kind of the worst of those, the really ridiculous ones.
Can you give us a taste?
For example, Spider-Man's organic web shooters. You know, those sorts of things. You know, the web's actually just coming from his wrist as opposed to coming from a mechanical device, which, of course, they changed for the more recent Spider-Man films. There may be mention of Superman 2. There may be a mention of...
Even though it hasn't come out yet.
Well, we mean old school Superman.
Oh, too. I see. Okay, you're talking the Richard Donner or the Richard Lester version.
Yes, we could say the Richard...
Donner Lester.
Wait,
Donner Lester sounds like a town in England.
Yeah.
Or Lester Donner.
The Dester Superman. Yeah. There's several. I believe we go into eight, the bottom eight, as it were.
I see.
Sam Watermeyer has a nice thing called This Magic Moment, breaking down individual scenes in certain movies. He's got one of those this week, which is very nice. Nick Rogers always does great work. Of course, Christopher Lloyd does wonderful work. Everyone else,
you're rattling through
film,
every single name in the app.
Wonderful, wonderful work.
It sounds like a DVD commentary.
It is, and they did a really good job on it, and it was nice.
And I was like, and they were cool, and I liked them.
This was my favorite part.
You know, you remember when you were with the Film Yap and you heard that thing?
Yeah.
That was awesome. So Gina and Dan are back in town for a little bit visiting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we really appreciate you coming back to the Film Sociology.
We appreciate you having us.
How are things at Haunted Flower?
Well, at hauntedflower.net, the Sharknado shirts are just flying off the shelves. So you better hurry if you need to celebrate your Shark Tornado combination sequel.
Or Tara Reid needs help.
Or if you just, you know, need to celebrate going after sharks with chainsaws, because that's
does
the logical
happen.
Weapon of choice.
I'm sorry. Well, if they're in New York City, you have to take matters into your own hands.
Yeah. You got
to
defend yourself.
Then, if anybody didn't learn anything from Jason Takes Manhattan, you just by any means necessary. Now, to be fair, I have DVR'd Sharknado 2. Has anybody seen it? Because I know that was the online event. Kobe, I know you're not going to see it.
No, I saw the first one, and I was really looking forward to the second one.
You were missing the subtle nuances from the first one.
Yeah.
Well,
remember, folks, you have to watch Sharknado before you see Sharknado 2.
Plot things happen.
I'm really interested.
You might not know what's going on.
Does Tara Reid expand as an actress in the second one? Does she get an extended storyline?
Really interested to see how they explore having a bigger budget and what sort of things that makes it.
We're going to need
possible.
A bigger city.
Yeah.
can we have just a brief aside? You just did something that is one of my favorite things. It's
What's
actually my favorite thing that you did not do it.
What?
When speaking of the first film in a series of films, you did not call it Sharknado 1.
Ah,
it's because
yeah.
it's not.
Yeah,
it,
exactly.
It isn't.
Thank you.
I would say the first Sharknado.
But it is not called.
Just like it is not. There was a period where somebody at Paramount tried to name it Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
No,
it isn't.
Not
Don't do that. I'm also I'm going to take an extra. I'm going to move up onto a different step on my front stoop and say, I don't call the Star Wars movies by episodes. Oh. That's not what they are. Mm-hmm. You know what they are. There are these three, mm-hmm. and then those other three. You three stay over there.
And they shall not meet.
I will do that only in for clarification purposes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yes, you must see Sharknado in order to find out all the gaps of logic from Sharknado 2. So, we got to watch that. We got to watch that twice. Emma and I saw the Riff Trax treatment of Sharknado. So we're bristling with anticipation for Sharknado 2. We'll see what happens with that. So, besides shirts, what are some of the other weird Sharknado shark related stuff that is out there? I know you guys have looked. You've browsed, you've perused.
The other shark related stuff besides shirts?
Like a hat that we're getting that has the shark teeth on it.
Oh,
it's a pointed hat.
A shark hat.
So you can wear that in the World Series of Poker.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Or just a big shark fin that you wear as a hat.
You could wear that at a Buffett show.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
It's cool, man. It's like dual purpose. I can wear it twice in a year, man.
But yeah, it's been a funny year for us. I haven't really been actively reviewing movies.
We missed that, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to give you an idea of what it looks like when we just go see the movies we want to see, we've seen about 20 movies this year.
That's down.
Dang.
So
that's a bit of a drop.
See if you can figure out what these movies have in common.
They're good.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Good.
Hercules.
Well, I didn't see
Lucy.
That.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Action.
Transformers 4.
Loud.
How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Dragon animated. More monkeys.
22 Jump Street.
Action.
Maleficent.
Who cares?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Who cares?
X-Men Days of Future Past, Godzilla, Amazing Spider-Man 2, Transcendence, Captain America Winter Soldier.
Are you not seeing
Noah,
the mature movies?
Divergent.
Are you not seeing the
300, Rise of an Empire.
Oh, screaming.
Pompeii.
Screaming.
RoboCop.
Screaming.
And the Lego Movie.
Everything is awesome.
That's been our year.
You're not seeing Swedish existential navel-gazing movies.
Nope. We're going for explosions, animals,
and more monkeys.
Sci-fi, fantasy, loud noises. Yeah.
So you're not wearing your mature sweater.
No.
Itchy sweaters.
Itchy sweaters.
I don't think it made it in the move. I think it got tossed.
I think, quite frankly, we'd be a little disappointed if it wasn't that way, honestly.
Yeah, it's all popcorn all the time.
And more mucky. Now, this is the other thing. Did you have your popcorn ritual?
Yeah, quadrants.
Okay,
old theater,
ladies
old school.
And gentlemen,
let's revisit this.
Let's revisit this because this is, everybody has their own treat, quirks. Joe even brought treats. My gosh.
Nutter butter.
I know. Oh, I'm
be
sorry.
Be jealous.
Round nutter butters.
Yeah. It's not right.
It's not right, but we're not going to complain because they're still nutter butters.
It's so wrong, but it's still
so
right.
I couldn't tell what flavor it was because it wasn't peanut-shaped. But
what is it?
But no,
everybody
has their own snack and eating quirks. And Gina, if you would, it's like request night. Would you please share your eating habits at the movies?
Well, at the theater we used to go to, they had all the popcorn seasonings out there available for you to
the powders.
Yes.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, more powders, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously, I can't just choose one. So,
it's like a potato
I have
chip.
To divide
what are you
my
to do
bucket
when there's
into
jalapeno
quadrants.
And cheesy extra cheddar and s'mores and everything else?
Well, the problem is they've stopped stocking chocolate marshmallow, which was my favorite.
Now, were you like Elaine and just buying it by the cases and saving it?
I was. I ran out. I tried to go for chocolate caramel, and it tastes awful. So it's not working out for me at home.
Have you written a curt letter to the company?
No, I'm just going to make better buying decisions next time.
Forget that letter writing nonsense.
Yeah, so right now, like what it used to be was I would have nacho cheddar, white cheddar, ranch, and kettle corn. And then when those had gotten down to a certain amount and I couldn't taste flavors anymore, I'd get out my chocolate marshmallow that I brought and shake that on.
Bootleg seasoning.
Basically, by the end of this, your tongue can't taste flavors anymore because it's been so salted. So anything you eat the rest of the day, you might as well not get anything too cool because you won't be able to tell.
And you have a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
So when you pour it in, so you have like four corners?
Yeah.
Now, is there a divider, like the giant popcorn that you bring? Yeah,
yeah. No, it's all good. It's sometimes when the other sections don't start to taste very good, I kind of swish them up a little bit.
She's doing a hand circular motion for those
sometimes
listening on radio.
Sometimes the cheddar needs more sugar, so I'll spread around the kettle corn a little bit, see what happens.
How long has this been happening, Dan?
This is years in the making. This is a perfected art.
You know what?
See, up north, they don't have them available at the theater for you to use, so I have to bring my own in my purse. And so there was a problem this one time. Some of them have a twist-off top, and some of them have, like, a pop-up top.
Don't you got more than you wanted. No.
So you know exactly what happened.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah. The whole lid came off, and all my nacho cheddar was gone. It was a brand new container.
So did you shake it so at least it got as even as possible?
It got pretty gross, but I did my best.
Through it.
All she needs is an AMC crew, and you've got the Heisenberg of popcorn seasoning over here. Cooking up flavors that everybody wishes they had.
Wow.
I really just need to throw out that chocolate caramel. It tastes awful.
It tastes
so bad.
It hasn't hardened.
It doesn't taste like caramel.
It's not like
or chocolate.
A block
inside.
It tastes
like neither. It's not sugary enough. So I feel like I need to mix it with sugar or something, and that would be weird.
That would be one step
too far. Oh, right.
Because
you're okay sneaking it in. That's fine. Now, do you
Well, if I take in a big bag of sugar, isn't that crossing the line?
I might as well
bring a spoon.
It helps the medicine go down. Now, do you retop during the movie, or that's the times where you're looking for the dull points in an action movie, like a power ballad, or if the love interest shows up.
I've gotten more reasonable. I've scaled back a little bit. Now we actually split a bucket, so Dan eats all the buttery topping on the top. So I have about half a bucket now instead of a whole one to work with. So really, the seasonings last like one topping of them lasts. I don't need to reapply.
None of us do. Do you do this at home?
Yeah, because the kind without the fat in it doesn't taste very good.
Nothing without fat tastes very good. Fat is flavor. And boys are nasty. Wow. Okay. There you go, folks.
I skated off, so it's cool.
Yeah. Which team are you with now?
Now I am with Kalkaska's Small Town Outlaws up north. It's about 50 minutes away from Traverse City.
And as somebody who grew up in Michigan, I love the fact that you say up north. I know exactly where you're talking about. It's north of wherever you are living.
Yeah.
I tried explaining this to my wife when we went into Michigan. Where's up north? You're looking at it. People in Coldwater look, that's up north. So I grew up in Flint. Whatever's north is up north.
We're pretty far north. We live north of Traverse City
as well. That's very north.
Yeah, at the top of Old Mission Peninsula. We're 2 miles from
the
lighthouse.
All covered with cheese.
Yep. We're out in the woods. You can't find our house by accident. You need really good directions.
Do you know how to get to your house?
Yeah, I've been there. Been living there for a while.
But it's not a cabin in the woods.
Kind of looks like a cabin in the woods. It's cabin-esque.
It's cabin shaped. Kobe, you're not going to see cabin in the woods. What are you griping
about? No, I'm not. No.
Have you seen anything lately, Mr. Slago? Because besides the return of Gina and Dan, which we really appreciate, I think we need the Phoenix Rise. That is, what is Kobe watching?
Yeah, I've been waiting for that at home, dude.
You saw Lucy?
Yep, saw Lucy.
Think less, right? Thinky, more cool stuff.
She did cool stuff. Mm-hmm. She did pretty cool stuff.
And we had a limited amount of time, as did that film, and she was cool.
Which was nice.
Yep.
It was good.
My favorite bit about Lucy was some critic from Rotten Tomatoes said, I didn't know it was possible for a movie to be dumb and brainy at the same time.
That's the show.
Brain exploding.
Exactly.
Fridays and Sundays on HD2.
Every time I walk in that door.
It's dumb. So, and did Fair Sweet Bianca like this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was into it. She's the one that wanted to see it.
Little girl power. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So you get to pick the next one.
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to be.
Nothing Shakespearean?
No. No.
No.
Not want to say it.
You know, T. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles starts next week.
The Ninja Turtles?
The Michael Bay inspired Ninja Turtles.
But he's not directing it.
He's not directing it.
Otherwise, it's 2 hours and 45 minutes. And, so. Okay.
And Into the Storm.
Into the Storm.
And by the
more
way,
tornadoes.
And saw the trailer for Into the Woods, a musical that doesn't have any songs in the trailer. Okay.
What?
I know. And I guess we have to mention 50 Shades, whatever. Words to live by.
Silent Green is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go to hauntedflower.net. Go to the film app, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Dan. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology.